First Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. Now, you know, sometimes we sit down and we read the Bible and we run across books like this and chapters like this, and we see this name and that name, and he begat him, and they lived so long, and they begat so-and-so, we just kind of hurry through there. Well, believe it or not, until the last couple of weeks, that's kind of the way it was with me with this book. And sometimes we miss out on the Lord's blessing by doing that. But right in the middle of this, we see something. Now, as we look at the book of Chronicles, we know it's a book mostly of genealogy. And I think most people give Ezra probably he's the one that wrote the book. They ascribe it to him. Whether or not it was, I don't know for sure, but most scholars think that. But as I began to read these two verses, I began to see something. First thing I asked myself is, how you going to make a message out of two verses you like to talk? Then the more I read, the more I see. The more I start looking, I saw something there for me, and I hope that there'll be something there for you this morning. So I've entitled my message, not like what you would commonly hear from this, a prayer of Jabez, which it is his prayer, but that's not the title of my message this morning. The title of my message is Being Different for the Glory of God. And I think as we look at this prayer and we examine this prayer, we can see that Jabez was a very different man than what you might would think, especially from his name. He was a man of God. Let's just read and see what it says. Verse 9 of chapter 4, we begin there. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Now that's nothing new there. I mean, you see, well, you know, back over in Genesis, God told Eve, you know, you're going to have sorrow in childbearing because of your sin. So this must have been, you know, I thought this must have been some great sorrow that his mother had, not just normal. You ladies that have children, bear children, you know the sorrow and the pain that goes with childbearing. But probably you didn't stick a name on your child that meant all that. We'll look at that a little bit more. But then verse 10 says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. How you get a message to preach for 45 minutes on that? Well, you start looking at what other people say. I do. I don't know it all. You know, let me just go ahead and tell y'all a little joke and kind of break the ice this morning. I wasn't going to do this, but I will. You know, y'all know I like to talk. You know, this fellow one time, he run across the Sovereign Grace Baptist preacher. And this preacher was just talking to himself. This fellow walked up to him and said, you talking to yourself? He said, yes, I'm talking to myself. He said, well, why are you talking to yourself? He said, because sometimes I want an intelligent answer. Sometimes we get that way too, don't we? We think we have all the answers. Nobody else has it. Putting that aside, as we begin to look at these two verses, you know, part of it, and I'll just read you a couple of paragraphs that I got wrote down here that somebody else tried to explain this a little bit better than what I could do myself. It says the introductory text is self-explanatory. Jabez is asking God to bless him in the largest territory. that is, increase amount of fold his prosperity in his labors, health, wealth, and sphere of influence. Jabez's request continues that he also be kept from evil, as in the Lord's Prayer, to protect it, or that God would hedge Jabez from evil influence or consequence. But it's the latter part of the verse where we too often miss the higher calling. The Hebrew word atsave, which relates to the expression, might not cause pain, or might not cause me pain, is often translated, is at best incomplete. The particular stem to the Hebrew word atsave, as expressed in the context, is much more rich in its meaning. Jabez is not merely praying for wealth, health, and success, but more importantly, in an ancient Near East tradition, Jabez is praying for something much more challenging and powerful. Jabez is actually praying for a legacy, permanence, and fulfillment. Due to the richness and meaning of the Hebrew tongue, the latter part of the Jabez prayer would more accurately be read as, "May I not be worn down or sorrowed by my toil, but find fulfillment and joy in my work, and that my work would endure." So as I began to see that, I began to understand more about Jabez. Now, right in the middle of all these ancestors and all this begatting, and Jabez comes along. It don't even tell you who his father is. It don't tell you who his mother is. It's just the man that was more honorable than his brethren, a man that called out to God for prayer. So try to put a message together out of these verses, but over in 2 Timothy 3rd chapter, very familiar verses, and I just want to share this. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now that all Scripture is all Scripture. Okay? Everybody can agree on that. All of God's Scripture is profitable, and it's given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So God's Spirit has led me this morning to look at this message a little bit different than what I've read other preachers looked at this message. Not that they're wrong and not that I'm right. But this is what God's Spirit is leading me to do. As I said, the title of this message is being different. Glorify God, not Jabez's prayer. It was a great prayer. It was a prayer that God blessed, and we'll see that. But I want us to see more. I want us to see ourselves this morning as a child of God, working for God, doing things that will glorify God. And if we stayed under a shell or we stayed in our comfort zone, where we like to be, we're not going to glorify God very much. We've got to come out. We've got to be different. Jabez did not live up to his name. He was a man of sorrow, a man of pain, a man of suffering. But he didn't let that stop him in his life. You know, Johnny Cash had a song, I think, one time, a boy named Sue. He had a challenge in his life to overcome all that, didn't he? Like I said, our mothers probably didn't name us a name that would mean sorrow or pain or something like that. I don't even know what my name means. But I look at us today as Christian people, I look at us as individuals who become satisfied with their, what you might call our status quo. You know, I mention this every time I preach. Saved, satisfied, and set down. We get into that place, our comfort zone. That's where we at. We don't want to get out of it. But I'm here this morning to tell each one of you, as a child of God, and telling myself too, to please God and to glorify God in the life that He has given us, we've got to step out and get out of our comfort zone. We got to be different. We got to live different. We so structure our lives to the point that we can almost predict what will happen from one day to the next. You know, it hadn't been long ago. I've talked to wife about it several times. It just seems like there's a point in my life where we're just sitting and waiting on something to happen. And that's the way we get sometimes. But we don't need to be sitting and waiting on something to happen. We need to make something happen as a child of God. We need to get up and get busy. But that's where we're comfortable at. For many people, this kind of stability provides a deep sense of security and well-being. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's when that same type of comfortable living invades our spiritual life, that's what causes the trouble. There's nothing wrong with being satisfied with your job. But when you become satisfied with your service to the Lord, you have problems. We have problems. There's nothing wrong with being comfortable with our homes or our automobiles or our financial standings. But when we become complacent about our prayer life and satisfied with our spiritual progress, we need to move out of that so-called comfort zone that we might have. We should never reach a place as a child of God where we're totally satisfied with our walk and our witness to a lost and dying world. You say, well, how's all this got to do? What's all this got to do with the prayer of Jabez? Well, hopefully we can put this together. Jabez wasn't the man that was going to sit there and just be satisfied and just accept the name that had been stuck on him. We're going to see that Jabez had a love in his heart for God. He trusted God. He wanted to live for God. He wanted to serve God. He wanted to step out of his so-called comfort zone and be busy about the Lord's work. That's what I hope we see. If any Christian's ever reached a place where he would be satisfied with his spiritual life or spiritual progress, then we have problems. You know, look at the Apostle Paul. He had all kinds of problems, but he wasn't ever satisfied. He was always reaching out for more, going further. But not only do many individuals live in a spiritual comfort zone, but so do many churches. When the attendance is up and the offerings are good, we may be tempted to back off and take it easy. We may not pray for the church as we should. We may not invite others to come. We may not be as active as we should. It's easy to become dissatisfied with the way things are. And we do that. Sad truth is this. When a church and a church family becomes complacent, that church begins to die. It may take years before that happens, but it begins to die. The church is in serious trouble when it becomes satisfied and complacent where it's at, or in its so-called maybe comfort zone. But how do we move out of this? How do we move out of where, you know, we... maybe our little space, this is my space, I'm comfortable here, I want to stay here, I want to do this. How do we get away from that? I think that answer can be found in these verses, in the prayer of Jabez. We want to see some facts that can help us move out of our comfort zone, both as individuals and as a church. So we'll look a little bit at this man called Jabez. First, let's look at his place in life. Mentioned a little bit. You know, First Chronicles is mostly a book of genealogy about the nation of Israel. We know that Jabez was from the tribe of Judah. We can see that there. But for the most part, it's just a collection of begats. And every once in a while, you see something else. But when we come to Jabez, we are confronted with a man whose life is like an oasis in a dry, barren desert. Most of the others simply state that they begat sons and daughters and that they died. It appears that Jabez wasn't comfortable to be like everyone else. He wanted to be different. He wanted to live a life that would glorify God. And the question I could ask today would be, do we? Do we want to just be comfortable and stay where we're at? Be complacent. Everything's fine. Everything's going good. Why should don't want to upset the apple cart? We shouldn't be that way. We should want to stand out. If you There are few among us who rise above the crowd. There are very few who leave an indelible mark on the world. Most of us are content to live like everyone else around us. But isn't it sad to think that your life and mine might be condensed to a few begats, and then he died? Seriously, folks, do we ever think about our life, what we're doing, what we will be remembered for? Do we want to be remembered? Wouldn't it be a tragedy for our life to come down to no more than a few lines on a tombstone? The Bible tells us that our whole reason for existence is to be a blessing to God and a blessing to the world. That's right, we are not here for us. The world does not revolve around us. Reason for our existence is to glorify God. That's what we're here for. Those who have departed, some names are mentioned often, while others never come up. Why is that? Is it because some left a greater mark and cut a wider path as they moved through this world? 10 years after our death, will it matter that we lived at all? Sadly, few people leave an indelible mark on this world. Fewer still leave such a mark on eternity. But I know one that did. Jesus Christ did. We should never be satisfied or to be like everybody else. God has called each of us and has gifted each one of us in wonderful ways. He has given us the means whereby we can stand out from the crowd and be different for His glory. What I'm saying is that we need to be different for the Lord. We need to be different because the Lord has done a work in our hearts and in our lives. The question is this: 10 years after you die, will people remember your life and the contribution it made to the kingdom of God? I was thinking last Sunday when Brother Tom was preaching about living in kingdom. It's a different life. Matter of fact, until last Sunday, I didn't have a title of this message. And I got that from his words last week. We are to live different. And living a different life will bring honor and glory to God's name. But if our life has meaning, we've got to be different. Now, we call ourselves Christian, Christ-like, different. Let me share with you some very familiar words that I thought about as I was studying. From Matthew 5, let's look at verses 13 through 16. Matthew 5 and verse 13 says, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men." Jesus calls his people, his disciples, the salt of the earth. But then he says in verse 14, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." That verse right there, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." How many of us are living a life that's hid under a bushel? That nobody can see our light shining. The world cannot see our light shining because we're hid. We're stuck back in our comfort zone. We're in our space. The rest don't matter. Everything's going good. It's a sad thing, folks. When we as God's children put ourselves in a place where the world can't see us, the world can't hear us, the world don't know us, and we don't leave a mark in the world, we just exist. I know I may be stepping on some toes. I done had one man say they probably going to have to get up and leave about 10 till because they're going to be hurt all they can hear from me.
I'm picking at you, Brother Shane. I know he's got to leave early. I'll try to give him a dose before he gets gone. You know, sometimes our toes does get stepped on, don't they? But I'm telling you this morning, folks, my toes need standing on. They don't just need stepping on. They need standing on because I'm preaching about me this morning. This is the kind of life that I've lived most of my life. I'm trying to do better. By the grace of God, I will. But I've shut myself up from the world. I'm saved. I'm satisfied. I'm set down. You know, hey, God's going to save His elect. I don't have to do nothing. That's not the way the Bible teaches us to be. That's not the way the Bible teaches us to live. Jabez had a terrible name. It represented a lot of things. We call ourselves Christians. That represents Christ. Jabez was not satisfied with his life. He didn't want to live a life to fulfill his name. And I'm sadly to say, the people that call themselves Christians, they are satisfied with the life they live. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. You don't do that. God has not saved us for us to hide in the darkness, folks. But look what He says. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And then He tells us why. We always miss that why, don't we? He says, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what He saved us for. That's what He created this earth for. He created everything to bring honor and glory to Him. And if we're not doing that, we're stuck somewhere in the darkness, we're not glorifying God. We see Jabez's place in life. Now let's look at the problem he had in his life. His mother named him Jabez. Name literally means the son of my sorrow, pain, affliction. He will cause pain. Many people would take a name like that and figure they were doomed from the start. But it doesn't have to be that way. We have the power through the Holy Spirit to break free of the chains of our past, no matter what our past holds. Through the grace of God, and through God's Spirit, we can put it behind us. We can break free from that. We don't have to be stuck there. We don't have to live under a bushel. We don't have to stay in our comfort zone. Just because the world thinks we fail, that don't mean we might have failed, but that don't mean we have to fail now. Just because we might have been taught some things back in one time in our lives don't mean that we have to continue to live by those things. We can be different. Just because our family was a certain way, we were raised a certain way, or we had a certain reputation, and I had one. Wasn't that bad, I didn't think, back then. Thought I was doing pretty good. But how's it going to be when we stand before Christ one day and, well, I thought I was doing pretty good, but it don't sound like it now, does it? We're all going to stand there. What I'm saying is, folks, this morning, we have the ability to rise above all that. We can live the life that God has called us to live. 1 Corinthians 15:10, Apostle Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Then he says, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. We're not by ourselves, folks. We have God's Spirit within. He lives within us to help us through it all. We don't have to be complacent. We don't have to live under that bushel. Then we look at Jabez's performance in life. It says that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And that simply means that he was worthy of more honor than the rest of his family. He just looked at how they were living and decided that he could do better. Jabez was not mentioned as a great leader, prophet, or preacher. He did not make his mark on the battlefields of life as a great leader of men. His name is remembered because he was a man of prayer. His name is remembered because he was a man of God and a godless day. Now, some things I read, I've come across a couple of places where I was trying to do some research, and the Jews have it that he was a famous doctor of the law. I don't know. I can't back that up scripturally. I can't disprove it, and I can't prove it. But Jabez was, he was different. He overcome the circumstances of his life. Then we look at his prayer in verse 10. Jabez prayed for prosperity. Jabez's prayer for prosperity is twofold. First, he prays for the Lord's fullest blessings upon his life. Then he prays for his boundaries to be extended, or territory to be enlarged. And we need to pray that prayer too. We don't need to be stuck in just a little small place. We need to pray that the Lord will extend our boundaries and our territory. I believe that's what it's teaching here, not just maybe land. Some commentators refer to land, some territory, him being able to spread the word of God, to be a servant of God. It's hard to get a whole lot out of two verses. It would appear that Jabez was not satisfied with his life. And he wanted two things. And one of them was he asked for God's best. Jabez wanted the fullness of God's blessing to be upon his life. And who doesn't want that? Is anybody here today that don't want God's blessings upon your life? No, we all do. There's nothing wrong with wanting the best God has for you, and there is nothing wrong with praying to God to place His riches of blessings upon your life. If you've been told different, you've been told wrong. You might have been told it's wrong to pray for yourself, but it's not. We're not talking about money, possession, and power. We're simply talking about obtaining God's best for our lives, seeking those things that glorify God. We don't have to be satisfied with the mediocre things in life. God wants us to enjoy the riches of His blessings. We can see that in Malachi. Verse 3 and verse 10 kind of says it like this. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. He says to prove me now, says the Lord, if I will not open up a window in heaven and pour you out a blessing, that you can't even receive it. But first, he says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. God wants to bless us. But do we want to do what He tells us to do and commands us to do? We need to refuse to dwell in the comfort zone. We need to break away from the ordinary and watch God bless us and use us in extraordinary ways. In John 21, verses 1 through 6, the disciples there, they tried to operate in the energy of their flesh, but they were unsuccessful. When they began to do things God's way, they were very successful. Then we see that Jabez, he asked for God's blessing and praying for his borders to be expanded. Jabez is asking the Lord to help him to have more influence in the world. It would seem that Jabez is not content to dwell in his comfort zone. He wants to break out and do more for the Lord. Do we want that? Do we want that? As believers, we must never be satisfied with where we're at. God wants to get us to get out of our comfort zone and reach out to a lost world. As long as we're satisfied where we are, we're going to be limited in what we do for Him. But when we allow the Lord to move us out of our comfort zone, He will extend our borders, and we will be a greater influence on the world. Then we see that Jabez prayed for power. Jabez asked the Lord to put His hand into his life. He wasn't content to be like others when it came to the power of God. He wanted more. I want you to know today that Christians do not have to settle for weak, powerless lives. You know, I believe with all my heart that when we begin to live as the Lord desires, that we can have power. He will give us the power to do the things that will bring honor and glory to His name. But that has to come from Him. We cannot do anything on our own. Because without Him, we can do nothing. And why is it that some people seem to have God all over their lives? Why is it that some people seem to be effective in whatever they do for the Lord? Why is it that some people seem to have power with God? Simply stated, they have refused to rest in their comfort zone. But they have willingly paid the price before the Lord. And as a consequence, He has blessed them with power in His work. Just like the Apostle Paul. I believe that this power is available to all of God's people. But we got to get tired of this business as usual. You know, I guess the one way to say it. We got to be different. We have to be willing to pay the price. God wants to use us and to fill us with His glory. He wants to use us for His glory. And if we'll give Him a chance, God will amaze us with what He will do with us, and with our life. But we have to be willing. Then we see that Jabez prayed for protection. Jabez continued his prayer with a request for protection from sin and evil. He knew that when sin comes in, trouble soon follows. He's just asking the Lord to help him to live a life for Him. And this should be the attitude taken by every child of God. We ought to hate everything that brings dishonor to the name of the Lord. And David said it best when he said, in Psalms 101 and verse 3, he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I believe that every child of God ought to pray for this same thing. After all, God has promised to provide a means of deliverance from every temptation, as He did there in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, where He says, God will not allow us to be tempted more than we can bear. He will make a way for us to escape. There's a lot of things in this life, in this world, that tempts us and keeps us from doing the work of God. We ought to want God's blessings. We should want for Him to expand our territory and our influence and our outreach. We all should want God's power in our lives and in our church. We should pray for help in facing life day by day and in staying pure for the glory of the Lord. And in verse 10, we see Jabez and his provision. God heard the prayer of Jabez and answered him by giving him all the things for which he prayed. Well, why did the Lord do that? He did it because He honors prayer that honors Him. You see that in James 4, 2 and 3. When we pray to God and we pray in His will, God honors that prayer. He don't teach us to pray selfishly. And Jabez didn't pray a selfish prayer. I don't believe he did that. He prayed with a pure heart. He prayed to the God that he knew that could bless him and bless his life and help him to overcome the circumstances of his name. We serve a God today who has promised to hear and answer our prayers. Therefore, we can make our request in absolute confidence, knowing that the Lord has heard us, and will give us that which we seek. John 14, verse 13 says, And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. See, a lot of these things that the Bible teaches do, it tells us why we're to do those things, that God will be glorified. We're to pray. Glorify God. We're to live a life breaking out of our little shell and our comfort zone and reaching out. Reaching out to others. That glorifies God. Sitting back and hiding under that bushel. You know, I kind of thought there when I was reading what Jesus said, you know, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it shall give light unto all that are in the house. I kind of thought, well, you know, was these disciples kind of like that? You know, they was just kind of a little bit like we are. Maybe they were, I don't know. Maybe Jesus looked down through the ages and knew that how his disciple was going to be. And he reminded us that we are the salt of the earth. And we don't hide our light. So as we think about these things, we need to look at our lives and at our praying. We need to see whether or not we're asking for these things. And I'll close with this. Just a review of five things about Jabez. Number one, Jabez had a life of faith. Two, Jabez asked for God to bless him. Three, this one, Jabez prayed for more. There's nothing wrong with that. And four, Jabez prayed to have God's presence in his life. And five, Jabez prayed for God's protection. And then we see there at the end of verse 10 where see that God heard Jabez's prayer and God answered his prayer. So I ask you this morning, what is your prayer? What is your life? Are you living in the comfort zone? Or are you living a life that glorifies God? Thank you.